Well, good morning.
We'll let the kids get off to Sunday school this morning. Isn't it a beautiful day? We had snowmageddon, not as much snow as I expected, but hey, it's a beautiful day. So we're starting off our new series called What Drives Our Direction. Now, I guess before we start that, I want to tell you guys, thank you. Thank you for letting me be a dad. You know, yeah, this is my vocation, being pastor, but thank you for letting me be a dad. So last week, Ella, very unexpectedly, her team did so well at provincials. They were amazing. We got there and, you know, what she's been in, this is your fifth provincial, so you've had four other competitions up. Right, Ella? So four other competitions, and up until now, they hadn't won a game. And we went to last weekend, not expecting them to lose, right? No. But we expected, you know, them to work hard and we would see what happened. And we got done the first game and it was amazing. Like, they came out and they won 3-0 and we're like, oh, this is good. Good start. You know, maybe reality will set in the next game. And they started the game out strong. It was 2-0 early in the game. They were doing really well. And then the other team came back and was tied 2-2 at the half. And we're like, okay, reality set back in. And they came out and they scored 5 quick goals, and it was absolutely amazing. I was shocked. So then we're like, okay, 7-2, we're 2-0, you know, maybe there's a chance. And then the next game came and they won 4-0. And I was like, oh boy, I'm not prepared for this. Like, we weren't prepared to go all weekend. So we won 4-0, and the game was stopped with like 7 minutes left to go because one of their players got hurt. Yeah, I know, fake getting hurt, right, Ella? She got hurt. So we were shocked and trying to figure out what to do. So I had a conversation with Nathan, and, you know, thank you guys for just being understanding. He said, you know what, be a dad. Enjoy this. And it's important that as a dad, we celebrate these victories and the losses with our kids. And, you know, we weren't sure what was going to happen. And so they came into the semifinal game and they played against a team that they had just beat 4-0, and it went to penalty kicks. And it was an exciting game. It was fun. And they won that. And then we went to the finals and where we played Swift Current, and we won that game 1-0. And, you know, it was funny because Dwight Chapansky and his wife Dawn, Lyle Ealing's son-in-law and daughter, they came and watched with us. It was fun. We were high-fiving and they were into the game, and it was great. Dads were high-fiving. It was super stressful. But it was just amazing to be part of that adventure with my daughter and our kids. So I thank you. Like, it was just so much fun. We don't get those opportunities often. I mean, it's a once-in-a-lifetime maybe opportunity, so thank you. So divine direction. What drives our direction? Decisions can drive our life, right? Like, they drive where we're going. And we're looking for some divine direction in life, aren't we? How many of you can say that you're looking for some divine direction? And this week, we're going to talk about the power to become. So would you agree with me that for the most part, the decisions that we make today determines the stories that we tell tomorrow? For instance, what I just told you about even last week with my daughter, Ella. You know, the decision to stay there helped determine the stories that I just got to tell you. Oh, by the way, thank you. Another sidetrack about that. Thank you for being an example of Christ to the parents on that team. I showed up Sunday. They were expecting me not to be able to be there. And I got to share with them how awesome you guys are as a church and just how awesome Jesus is and how awesome people treat others and just about the importance of community. So it was great. So thank you. Anyways, back to the message. I think this is so important. Our decisions matter so much. The decisions we make today determine our stories for tomorrow. And the decisions we've done in the past determine what we do today. Essentially, who we are today is a direct result of a decision that we made in the past. Who will you become? And what will you be able to accomplish in the future? For the most part, it will be a direct result of the decisions you make today, right now. And as you go through the day. And as you go through tomorrow. Let's be honest. How many of us can honestly say that we're not always great decision makers? I know I'm one. Have you ever made a permanent decision based on a temporary emotion? Have you ever lost your temper when you shouldn't have and made a rash decision and made a poor choice? Maybe you lost your temper getting ready heading to church today. I don't know. Maybe you regret something you said or did. Maybe you regret someone you dated. Oh, if you could go back and change some of those decisions, eh? Maybe you regret that big purchase. I remember when we were going to buy our first iPod. And Stacy and I, we hemmed and hawed about it. And it was a big deal. It was a 64 gig iPod, and it was about $600 at the time. And it was the one with the big old rotary dial. You know which ones I'm talking about. And I was just like, do we do it? Do we not? Do we wait? And we eventually did buy it. And it was like, okay, we bought it. We got back to the vehicle. And I'm like, Stacy, why did we do this? You know, we get silly buyer's remorseful, things like that. Maybe it was when you said, hey, watch this, right after you did something stupid. I know all the guys in the room probably agree with me. We've all seen those videos, why women live longer than men. Those are some of the bad decisions that we make. Some of you right now have decisions you can make. Maybe you're in grade 11 or 12 and you're trying to figure out what to do in the next couple of years. Do you go to university? Do you take a trip? Do you work on the farm? Do you major in this when you go to school? Maybe you remember dating. Yuck, that was a pain. If you could make some of those decisions over, I know I could have. It would be so much easier. Take the stress off it, wouldn't it? You know, you have decisions about, should I take that new job? Or, you know, where do we go from here? Should I stay in the one I got? Should I buy that new car or try to keep the old one alive? Should we have more kids? Is 5 ever enough? We've always have a decision to make, and they're important. So what drives us to make those decisions? Do we do what seems right, or do we want some divine direction? Do we do what we think is right, or do we want God to give us the direction? You know, there's a lot written about this generation that we have today known as the millennials. Now, I don't know what generation I am. I'm somewhere between Gen X and the millennials, and there's a generation in between. It's like a micro-generation. I was just reading about it. It was very interesting. But this generation of millennials, they're having a tough time making decisions, aren't they? This generation is having a more difficult time committing and making decisions than previous generations. And the biggest theory behind this is because there's so many options, way more than before. So when I graduated, it was either you go to college or you go to work. That was kind of your options. Now it's like, do you do college online? Do I go to college? Do I travel the world? Do I work at Starbucks? Do I make it big on YouTube? I know Cohen has this big goal. He's going to make a lot of money and have a YouTube channel and be a YouTube gamer or something. I'm like, buddy, it doesn't work that way. But that's his plan. There are so many different options, though, aren't there? Like, I'll give you an example of this, an idea. So I remember we've all flown somewhere and you get on the plane and what do you have? Like 3 or 4 choices of what movie to watch. And it's easy. You pick one and you watch it. Now, how many of you have ever had to watch Netflix or gone on Netflix and you're on your Apple TV and you're like, what am I going to watch? And there's like a million choices. And if you're like me, you search for an hour and you keep looking. You get frustrated and you end up watching nothing. You go to bed mad. We have a Netflix generation with thousands and choices that they can make. And none of them might be a bad choice, but it's hard to decide. So in the end, they make no decision at all. And what happens is we get many in this generation who are afraid to make the imperfect decision. Like I was afraid to watch the imperfect movie. Sure, they all might be funny, but I wanted to watch the perfect one. So instead of making an imperfect decision, they make no decision. And no decision ends up becoming much worse than the imperfect decision. We need some divine direction. So the first thing, if you're taking notes, is this, that God cares about who before do. When it comes to the will of God, God cares more about who you are and who you are becoming than what you're doing vocationally or for your job. God cares about who you are before anything else. Who before do? God cares about who before do. Okay? That's huge. I think we need to understand that fully. God cares about the who before the do.
1 Thessalonians 4:3 tells us this. For this is God's will, that you become holy. Now, what's the context of that scripture? They're talking about immoral people, immorality. Now, the truth of the matter is, anytime you're not following God and following God's will, you're not living a moral life. When you're not walking behind what God has called us to live, you're not living a moral life. Can you agree with that? So if we're not following the will of, if we're not following God, we're not living according to God's plan, God's purposes, God's what he's called us to do. So God's calling us to be holy. So I want to know what God's will is for my life. What is God's will? God's will is it for you to be an EMT? Is it for me you to be a salesman, a farmer, farmer's wife, an engineer, a pastor, an accountant, a mechanic? Doesn't say that in the Bible, does it? Have you ever read in the Bible, Mel, you're supposed to be an EMT? No, it doesn't exist. What does the Bible say? What is God's will in the Bible? God's will is for you to be holy. That's what God wants us to do. God's will is for you to become more holy. God's will is for you, is more about who you are becoming, than what you do. God's will is for you to be holy. And when you, as you become holy, you become more like Jesus, right? And what did Jesus do? What did he say? What was the most important thing Jesus said? Two things. We talked about it like 3 weeks ago. Love God, love people, love God, love people, love God, love people, love God, love people. I'm not two-stepping for you guys. I took my shoes off already, but I'm not dancing. Love God, love people, love God, love people. That's what we're called to do. If we want to be holy, who do we live like? Jesus, because he's the example, isn't he? And what example did Jesus set? Love God, love people, love God, love people, love God, love people. I'm just spitting when I'm talking because it's so important. How important is it to live like Jesus and love God, love people? So important. Top two commandments. So Jesus said, these are the top two things you need to do. Love God, love people, love God, love people. God's will is for you to be more like Jesus, to be holy. He wants you to be like Jesus. He wants you to be holy. The Greek word translated as holy is, now I'm going to see if my Greek's right, agios. Agios. Did you know that? And what does agios mean? It means to be set apart. It means to be different. That's what holy means. To be set apart from others. To be different than the world. If you're a Jesus follower, you're not to look like the world. We're supposed to be driven by this different set of values. Right? This is what we're talking about when we talk about divine destination, because you never arrive. That's why that's why this is not called divine destination, and rather divine direction. Because if it's a destination, you can get there, can't you? My destination is Saskatoon. If you say my destination is west, or east, I guess Saskatoon's east from here. If you say your destination is east, where's your destination? You just keep going east, don't you? My destination is Saskatoon. Where am I going? Saskatoon. If my destination is being holy, do I ever arrive, or do I just keep pushing forward to where Jesus is going? That's what we're called to be, to keep going towards Jesus. We never arrive. I've heard people say, well, I can't be as good as Joe. They're so holy. No, you know what? I'm hoping that Joe is chasing after Jesus. I'm not chasing after Joe. I'm chasing after Jesus, and that's what I'm called to do. So if I'm saying I can't be like Joe, doesn't matter. I'm just trying to be like Jesus. Jesus is the benchmark. Jesus is there. We need to keep trying to strive to Jesus. That's the bottom line. When Jesus was talking in the Bible, did he ever talk about our vocation, our job? What did Jesus talk about? Our character, who we are. And what matters is who we are in him. That's all that matters. Doesn't matter who I am to Mel. It does matter, because he's kind of my boss. But what in the end, what matters is who I am to Jesus. That's my strive, is I want to be more like Jesus. And that's something we all need to want. The only time Jesus actually did talk about our job and our vocation when he was saying, leave that job and come follow me and let's make disciples. Live like me and love God, love people. Love God, love people. Love God, love people. That's when he called us away from our job. Now here's the cool thing. We can keep doing our job and love God, love people. Love God, love people. He's not calling us away from that. He's calling us, though, to continue in this life of being more holy. That's the only time he talked about jobs, though. So what does that tell you? What does it tell you? He cares more about... You're ahead of me. The who before the do. He cares more about who we are than what we're doing. That's what it tells me. So we always ask ourselves, or we ask God even, God, what do you want me to do? God, what do you want me to do? But you know what the better question is? God, who do you want me to become? And you know the answer? More like Jesus. If you start there, the who, if you follow the right who, and you become the right who, it's going to lead you to the right do. Every single time. So, you're like, well, I'm a EMT. I'm a salesman. I'm a mechanic. Then be the best salesman. Be the best mechanic. Be the best engineer. Be the best EMT. Be the best doctor, be the best accountant, be the best administrator, where you're at. But strive towards Jesus. Be a faithful follower of Jesus right where you're at. Should I sell my house and move? No matter where you live, make sure you're serving Jesus there. No matter what you're doing, serve Jesus there. Live like him. Love God, love people. Love God, love people. Right where you're at. And it's going to lead you to the right do. Start with the who. The second thing is God's will is why before what. Who before do, and now why before what. We're not going through all the W's. Why before what. Motives matter. Did you know that? Motives matter. See, there's a song. Maybe you know it, maybe you don't. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Why did they sing that song? Because motives matter. It's about a clean heart, a pure heart, a heart that's chasing after Jesus, not one that's chasing after building my kingdom and my emotions. We talked about it yesterday at the Promise Keepers, right? His Trinity or mine? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or me, myself, and I? Which one are we chasing after? Which one are we trying to live after? Motives matter. Proverbs 16, 2 to 3. Now you're keeping up. All of a person's ways seem right in his own opinion. But the Lord evaluates the motives. Commit your works to the Lord and your plans will be established. In other words, we have this ability to deceive ourselves, don't we? It says there, in his own opinion, our motives seem right. Our ways seem right. But our heart is deceitful. See, God judges our motives. Motives matter. There's two reasons why we do things. Isn't there? You know that? There's the reason we tell everybody, and then there's the real reason. That's true for so many people. Oh, I'm just helping you because I want to be a nice guy, but I also want to make myself look a little better to everybody else. I'm just helping you because Jesus told me to. And I'm hoping that that cute girl down the street notices. I remember trying to pull those when I was like 16, 17, 18, 20. When did I get married? 21. But you know what? Motives matter. I got some kids. We have a dog. And I can't remember which kid it was. It was like, oh, Daddy, I love you. Daddy, you're the best. Daddy, you're so great. Daddy, we have so much fun together. Daddy, can we play soccer? Daddy, can we do this? Daddy, can we go for a car ride? Daddy, can we get a new puppy? We did get a puppy. I'm a sucker. Motives don't matter to Daddy as much as motives matter to God. Because they know how to play me. But you know what? Motives matter to God. Why are we doing it? The next thing we can know about it on the next slide says, search my heart, O God. See if there is any offensive way in me. Lead me in the way of everlasting. It's scary to me how often our motives are impure. And if I take time to just be really honest before God, it's horrifying how often my motives are more me-centered than Christ-centered or other-centered, isn't it? How many of you can say everything I do is for everybody else or everything that I do is for Jesus? At work, I'm like, yeah, for sure. No, I can help you out. And then I put my phone on mute, you dumb jerk, right? Because on mute, no, whatever you need, you meathead, on mute again. Why? Because I want that promotion. I want some more money. I want a bonus. Maybe it's a bad example, but you know what? How many of us do things like that? I don't really do that. This is being recorded. So my bosses, if you're listening to this, I don't put you on mute and say that. Now I've got myself rattled. But it's not about what I want. Is it? It should be all about what does God want? What is God calling me to do? It is impossible to get to the right place when you have the wrong motives. It's like trying to get to the right place when you have the wrong directions. How do I get to Saskatoon? Well, first you head towards Bigger, and then you take a left when you hit the T, and you head towards Chauvin. Does that get you to Saskatoon? No, because you have the wrong directions. You have the wrong reason. Examine your motives. What is God's will? What does God want me to do? You're going to buy a car. Why are you buying this car? Is it to look good or because you need a car? Because you need new reliable transportation or you're trying to make a statement and say, hey, look at my wheels. Look what I got. Look at this Beamer. Whatever the car may be. Maybe you're complimenting someone. Is it because you're trying to be sincere? Or because maybe you want others to think better of you. Oh, look at how humble they are. just building others up. Why are you doing it? Maybe if you're on social media, why are you posting that picture? Do you want people to think you're more important? See, opinions of others don't matter. What matters is what God thinks of us. That's all that matters. And you want to know what God thinks of you? Do you want to know? Anybody? God loves you. God loves you. In the end, that's all that matters, is God loves you. And the sooner that we can understand that, the sooner that we have this full understanding that God loves us no matter what we do, everything else seems easier. The why before what becomes a lot easier because we know that God loves us. And it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks because God loves us. What's the motive behind what we're doing? Paul said it so powerfully. God, what do you want me to do? Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Another version says, and whatever you do. Can we say that together? And whatever you do. Okay? One, two, three. And whatever you do. And whatever you do in word and deed, do it in his name, in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to him. See, it doesn't say, and whatever you do, do it so you can look good. Does it? It says, whatever you do, do it for the name of the Lord. We're to do it all in the name of our Lord Jesus. Whatever you do, wherever you are, serve Jesus there. Maybe you're at A&W working, right, John? What do you do at A&W? Kitchen. Be the best kitchen guy there then, right? Making burgers, fries, whatever for Jesus, right? Whatever we do, we're doing for him. If I'm building a building for Husky, guess what? I'm building that building for Husky, but I'm building it for Jesus because that's what he's called me to do at that moment. Whether you're working for the MP, do it for Jesus, right? Because whatever we do, it's not for that person, it's for Jesus. We need to realize that. If we're fixing a tractor or fixing a truck, we're changing a tire, we're doing it for who? For Jesus. If I came across Erla on the side of the road with a flat tire, yeah, I might change the tire for Erla, but I'm changing it for Jesus. Because whatever I do is for Jesus. That's the perspective we need to take. Everything we do for Jesus. Maybe you're doing something, you're like, you know what? This is just for right now. You know, right now, I'm working at 7-Eleven making corn dogs. But someday, you watch, someday I'm going to be doing something big. Someday I'm going to be doing missions, or someday I'm going to be, I don't know, building roads, I don't know. Doesn't matter. Do what you're doing right now for Jesus. Let everything else shake itself out. Serve Jesus where you are, right now, and let the rest happen. People look at others that are successful. How many of you have ever looked at somebody that's got a lot of money or very successful, and you're like, wow, they must have made a few really big decisions to get there, didn't they? How many of us have done that? Yeah. And you know what? You want to know the truth? No. It's not just a couple big decisions. It's thousands of daily decisions that they make to get them to somewhere. So what are our thousands of daily decisions we can make? There's all sorts of them. But we need to make those decisions for Jesus and not to try to better ourselves. Make them for Jesus. That's the most important thing. make our decisions for Jesus, do what we're doing for Jesus. There are countless decisions every day of denying ourselves and doing something for Jesus. How many of you, if you saw Erla on the side of the road with a flat tire, sorry, Erla, on the side of the road with a flat tire, damsel in distress, but you're like, oh, but I got an appointment in Saskatoon. See ya, Erla, can't stop. Denying yourself a little bit and saying, you know what, I'm going to be late, but that's okay, because I'm going to do this for Jesus. I'm going to have an opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus or talk about Jesus, or maybe just be Jesus' hands and feet right now. Because how many people would have drove by Erla thinking, what if she robs me? What if she takes my money, takes my car, and hijacks me, and I'm stuck here now fixing this flat tire to chase her down? Well, you drive a Cadillac, right? And then I'm going to be stuck driving this Cadillac. Like, come on. Only gangsters drive Cadillacs. We all know that. See, the thing is, it's who before do, why before what. And when we get those right, God will lead us step by step to the right places that he has for us. God is calling us to do that. God's will for our lives is who before do. Being holy, living like Jesus. The rest, the do, will sort itself out. The why before what? Once again, I can equate this back to chasing after Jesus, living like Jesus, doing what Jesus wants me to do, being holy, and everything else sorts itself out. God will help you choose the right do. As long as you're becoming the right who. I feel like I'm writing Dr. Seuss now. If you're driven by the right why, God will lead you to the right what, won't he? It's more about who and why than doing what. So what are we doing? Whatever we do, whose glory is it for? Do it for the glory of the Lord. Exactly. Do it for the glory of God. That's all that matters. Chase after Jesus. Chase after being holy. Chase after the right do. The right who, sorry. And you're going to become the right do. Do it for the right why. Isn't that why? Isn't that why we do it? The right why. Why? For God. For Jesus. To lift his name up. To give him praise. It's all that matters. Who before do? Why before what? It's always about the who and the why. That's the most important thing. And if we live our life right, for the right who and why, like I said, the do and what just sort themselves out. They always do. Always do. Because you're walking step by step with God. Aren't we? When we're doing the right who and the why. And then the do and the what just happen. They just happen. And it's a good do and what. Let's pray. We're going to continue to talk about this more in the upcoming weeks. So then we'll go from there. Father God, I pray that you would teach us more about the who and why. The who and why we do things. And in the end, it's all about Jesus. It's about chasing after Jesus, trying to be more holy, be more like him. And everything else just doesn't matter. As long as we're living a holy life, chasing after you. God, give us a heart that wants to seek you out. Give us a desire to want to get to know you. Father, take away our selfish ambition and give us an ambition that's to seek you, to go where you call us, to do what you ask of us. Father, we thank you for loving us so much that you care about the who and the why. That you care that we're wanting to become holy. That you care that we want to do it for you. God, we thank you for that. We thank you that you've called us to that. Father, I pray that you give us opportunities this week to do that. God, I pray that you would just help us seek after you in all that we do. Everything, every aspect. I pray that your love and your joy would just flow out of everything we put our hands to, God. That when we put our hands to something, people would know that it was you, Jesus, that did it, not us. So, Father, we thank you. And God, right now, we pray that you would just bless our offering as we're about to take it up as well, God. Bless these finances, God, to do your work, your due in this community. Father, in this area, that your name would be glorified above all names. In Jesus' name, amen.